because we're settled with Christ. Throughout this Christmas season, really throughout November and December, I've had various opportunities to share God's word at different places, and I have been using this idea of holiday treasures. And it came about, I was thinking about the things about the holidays, this season between Thanksgiving and New Year's that is filled, on most years at least, with all kinds of family celebrations. And I thought about what are the things in the midst of all of that that we tend to celebrate, that we tend to look forward to, that are the real treasures. And today, as I thought about that, and it kind of lines up well with this theme of Advent, is one of the things that we treasure is peace. I don't know about you, but if you've ever been to a family gathering where peace does not exist, and I'm guessing most of us have been to those at one time or another in our life, you realize just how difficult that is. Even if you feel at peace with everybody, but you recognize there's conflict between other family members. This brother's not talking to that brother, or this cousin's estranged from that cousin, and yet they all show up together, and it creates this awkwardness that permeates the room, that permeates the gathering. As I thought about this idea of peace, and one of the reasons I believe that's so awkward is because, well, our nature, at least my nature, is I have to fix it. And sometimes it's situations, it's things that I don't have the power or the ability or even the knowledge to fix. There's times within my own family that I'll get together and I'll find out that my older brother's not talking to my younger brother, and I want to fix it, but I have no idea what they're not talking about. And as I think about living life in the midst of this holiday season, what is it that keeps you and me from having the peace that God wants us to have? I don't know about any of you, whether you had any encounters with turmoil this past week or not. I was guessing that most people probably have. On my way up this morning, I had one of those encounters with a bridge that was missing. And my normal route, and you know, my mind, I've got figured out how long it takes to get here. As long as the bridge has come over the river. When the bridge is not over the river, it kind of adds to that time. And it creates this conflict within me of, am I going to make it? Is this detour going to take me way out of my route that I need to take? And for me, that just builds an unsettled spirit. And so as I consider this gift of peace, what would it look like if you and I would to live through not only this holiday season, but through every day with this gift of peace being present in our life? That we could live in such a way that the people around us would say, wow, how do you live a life with no trouble in it? And then we could be honest and say, I have plenty of trouble. I just have a God that gives me peace in the midst of trouble. You see, sometimes we like to whitewash the troubles that we have. We don't want anyone to know that we have troubles. And even as Christians, we think, well, that reflects poorly on God if I have trouble. And so we present ourselves as trouble-free, carefree, just life's all grand because Jesus is in my life. And people say, well, I've got troubles, and so that doesn't apply to me. And Jesus offers a peace in the midst of troubles that I believe applies to every person that we would ever encounter. And when we can be honest about Jesus carrying us in the midst of our troubles, I think it provides hope to a world, even in this climate that we live in of political unrest, of health unrest, of social unrest, of everything it seems like that we would look at as any form of stability is just filled with uncertainty. And so today I want to look at a number of scriptures. We're going to use that word peace. I want to begin in Isaiah chapter 9, the scriptures you've heard several times this morning, at least if you've been listening. Chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 out of Isaiah. "And for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." I don't know that it matters what your view is of our current political situation. I think everybody that I know from all sides and backgrounds and things says we're in a mess. And I read this and I find such hope that God writes and says the government will be upon his shoulders, that of his reign, of his kingdom, there will be no end, that of his righteousness, of his doing things the right way, there will be no end. And I find comfort in the midst of whatever our world's government systems choose to do, that I'm submissive to a government, to a leader who never changes, who's always present, who comes with the idea that not only will his government be without end, but his government will establish peace with all those who are citizens of his kingdom. Over in Luke chapter 2, we find a fulfillment of that. Excuse me. You get the angel showing up and swallowed a frog or something. Yeah. But there's proclaiming glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. And you get this idea that God's presence was designed to bring peace. And it wasn't simply a scattering of peace. A little peace for you and a little peace for you, and sorry, you don't deserve peace, but you might get a portion of it. But sometimes we get hung up with this idea that this peace was on all men, on whom his favor would rest. Well, if you understand the nature of God, you read through Scripture, you discover that God's favor has been extended to all who would come to him. That it really is not a restrictive clause. That God's peace is meant for everyone. It's kind of up to us whether we choose it or not. So this morning I want to look at these five things that I believe will help us to find this gift of peace as we live as children of God. The first part of discovering a gift of peace is discovering the gift of purpose. In Romans chapter 14, and verse 19. Paul writes and he says, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." He talks about this idea of having purpose in life. Our purpose is to do anything and everything. Thank you. That would lead us to peace. That would bring us into a right relationship, not only with God, but with one another. And as we consider that purpose in life, so many times we look at our jobs, we look at our family, we look at the things that we enjoy doing, and we think that our purpose comes from earning an income, or our purpose comes from taking care of our family, or our purpose comes from living a life that's filled with joy. And God comes along and says, your purpose comes from living at peace with me, from God's perspective, and living at peace with one another. And so I have to consider, if that becomes my purpose, how does that influence what I do this afternoon? How does that influence what I do tomorrow morning? If my purpose in life, if my purpose in living for God is to recognize that it's my responsibility to make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Now, I know there are those that would take that and says, well, that means I just agree with everybody. That, you know, it's the disagreements that lead to conflict. And so if I just agree with whatever someone says, then I'm making every effort to be at peace. Well, I don't know, unless you have a very small group of people that you interact with, like one other person, you will not be able to agree with everybody. You will actually be in greater conflict trying to agree with everybody than you would if you didn't. So he's talking here, I believe, about in your efforts, what I would call don't stir the pot. There are times where it's better to just be silent and to wait for the opportunities to instruct, to encourage, to challenge, to allow God's Spirit to bring conviction. Sometimes, and I think it's one of the danger of social media, is because it's so easy to just jump in and say, I have to correct them. They are obviously the greatest fool in the world with what they're posting here. And yet, how many times have we seen our efforts to correct someone really accomplish the correction, let alone accomplish peace? And for many of us, one of the greatest things to do is to remain silent until God says it's time to speak. And as we consider this purpose in life of doing everything within our power, within our ability to lead to peace, I think we gather this incredible gift that we begin to ask ourselves, if I comment on that, will it lead to greater peace? And I'm thinking long term. Sometimes my conversations with people does not make immediate peace. But it plants that seed of thought that begins to point them to Jesus. And one of the things I believe that if we use God's word as the basis for what we believe on everything, then when it is time to correct someone, our words ought to be that which leads to peace, should they choose to follow what we say. But if we're just kind of given our opinion, which most of us are pretty good at doing, it may or may not lead to peace. It may actually increase the conflict. But sometimes the greatest question to ask is, what does God's word say about it? And there's times where we'll have this great argument and we'll have to admit it doesn't say anything. This is just a difference of opinion. And there are other times we'll have to admit that it's clear. And I've been wrong, or you've been wrong, or we need to reconcile over this. And so as we look for this gift of peace, we look for the gift of purpose, we also look for the gift of encouragement. John chapter 16, verse 33 says, Jesus is teaching. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. And this is where he says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You see, within this gift of peace, we find this gift of encouragement that whatever the conflict, God has already overcome it. Whatever the trouble the world will throw at you, or they'll throw at me, God has already overcome it. It doesn't mean we don't have to live through it. Sometimes we read that and we think, well, good, I've got a free pass. I can get out of trouble, kind of the old Monopoly, get out of jail free. Well, this is get out of trouble free. But that's not God's idea of peace. As I mentioned at the beginning, it isn't about removing the conflict. It's about helping us to live with a settled spirit through the midst of conflict, through the midst of trouble, through the midst of hard times. And so as we live life seeking this gift of peace, we live life seeking this gift of purpose, the purpose of making peace as to the best of our ability, to the best of our efforts. We live with the encouragement of peace that God has overcome all of the conflict. God has overcome in a way that carries us through in the midst of the conflict. We also look at this gift of peace as a gift of acceptance. I love this passage out of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Because it goes along with this idea of being at peace with one another. And we grow in peace with one another when we learn to grow in acceptance of one another. It's that idea that we are different. We've been created different so that we can accomplish different things so that the entire work that God has called us to do can be done. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 10 and 11, Paul's writing and he's talking about Timothy. He says, if Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying on the work of the Lord just as I am. No one then should refuse to accept him. Send him on his way in peace so that he may return to me. I am expecting him along with the brothers. As Paul's writing this, there's evidently something that he's concerned about that Timothy won't feel like he belongs. That Timothy will feel like when he shows up in the midst of the Corinthian people that they'll kind of hold him off. That they won't accept him. They'll reject even listening to anything that he would say. And so Paul writes this, and he says, when Timothy comes, let him not have anything to fear from you. Accept him just as you would accept me. Realize that he's teaching the same thing that I'm teaching. And we grow in this gift of peace when we grow in the gift of accepting one another. In recognizing that God has called us to himself. It's one of those gifts that we have to learn within family and extended family. And when you get married and your family kind of doubles with people that you've really not build a relationship with over time, then all of a sudden you're saying, okay, they have different political views than I do. They have different social views than I do. How do I live at peace and learn acceptance of one another? I believe it's important to recognize that accepting one another is not always the same thing as accepting what they say or what they do or what they believe. It's accepting them as a person, of recognizing that they have value because they have been created in the image of God. My wife's not here with me this morning, so I can say this publicly. I'm not always right. Yeah. She doesn't believe that. Or she might be the one that tells me I'm not always right. But however that goes, it still means that I ought to be accepted just as when you're not always right, I ought to accept you. Because you have value as a person created in God's image, and I have value as a person created in God's image even when I'm wrong about something. Yes, I may need correction. I may need convicted by God's Spirit. I may need a brother or sister to come along in love and say, you know, have you thought about this? But to do so in a way that it accepts one another, that says you belong. Welcome to the family. We're all a little bit crazy here. And it doesn't take long living within a physical family to recognize that every person has something about them that, well, the world probably thinks is just a little bit strange. But because they're family, we accept them. We include them. We bring them in. And when we look at this gift of peace from God, he says, you are family because I've bought you and I've called you to myself and I've created you. So as we look at the people around us this week, where whoever they are and wherever they are, one of the ways that we can give this gift of peace is to give a gift of acceptance. Of saying, you are valued no matter what. And it's out of that relationship that I believe God gives us opportunities to begin any corrective teaching that needs done. But it starts by giving this gift of acceptance. We also give this gift of peace when we give the gift of comfort. Philippians chapter 4, in the midst of this passage of whatevers, and he talks about a whole list of things, whatever is this and this and this, to think about those things because they're good things to think about. And he wraps that up in Philippians 4, verse 7. And he says, and the peace of God which transcends, actually this is the introduction to the whatevers, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And he looks at this idea of bringing us comfort. When we're faced with troubles, when we're faced with difficulties, when conflict seems to surround us, God says you have this gift of peace. A peace which surpasses understanding. A peace which ought to bring you the comfort that only He can give. It is a peace that will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I have this history over time of struggling with anxiety and panic attacks and things that my mind just starts into overdrive and it begins to convince me that things are really worse than what they are. And in today's time period that we live in, for things to be worse than what they are, they're really bad. But when the mind starts doing that, and it creates these scenarios that just creates this sense of panic in my life. And there'll be things that trigger that, and all of a sudden I'll find myself just worried. Did I do this right? Did I do that right? There's times where I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll drive down to the church to work and check if the doors were locked because all of a sudden my mind is thinking, I forgot to lock the building. And it's in these times when my mind is filled with anxiety that it overtakes the normal thought process. In my normal thought process, I don't worry about whether the building's locked. I just trust I did what I was supposed to do. It's a pattern. It's a habit. But when the mind is overtaken by a lack of peace, then all of a sudden, it drives me crazy. And Jesus comes along and says, this peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Knowing that you are right with God, knowing that He has paid the price to cover the sins and the transgressions that we have done against God. You see, that's the peace that we need. That's the peace that we need to proclaim to the people around us. It's not so much that we need everything to be right between us, which is a good thing. But more importantly, we need everything to be right between us and God. We can patch up everything that we can ever think of between us and other humans. And our life will be nice and pleasant and we'll feel that we're at peace. But if we do that without making sure we're right with God, we've really put a short-term bandage on a long-term problem. So this peace that God talks about, this comfort that He chooses to give, is a peace which transcends all understanding. It's a peace which guards our hearts and minds. And finally, as we give this gift of peace, we not only give purpose, We give encouragement, we give acceptance, we give comfort, but we give expression to this gift of peace. James 3:18 says, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. I look at that, I look at the expressions of peace, this idea of sowing seed. And I suppose I see that in that verse more than some might, because the idea of growing up on a farm, and you would sow seed if you wanted to reap a harvest. You would plant something if you wanted to eat something later in the year. And if we want to harvest peace, if we want to experience peace, then we must be those who are diligent about planting peace, about sowing peace, about sharing peace. Sometimes it's easy to kind of dig in our heels and say, I'm not budging. And we even do that with God at times. We'll say, I know what God's word says, but I don't like it. I don't believe it. I don't think it applies today. We'll come up with a list of excuses. And then we all of a sudden find that we don't really feel at peace with God anymore. And I think part of the reason is we've not sown the seeds of peace in our own life. We've created this division by refusing to take the instruction from God. As we live life, as we consider the treasures that the holiday season often brings, I believe one of the great treasures that we can give to one another this holiday season is the gift of peace. We do that best when we do it as a representative of Jesus. When we begin to help people see that God wants peace with them. One of the favorite passages, and I've got a whole list of them, so I'll probably say that about every time I preach. But Jesus talks about the story. He says, suppose a king is coming at you with an army of 20,000, I believe it says. And you count up your army and you realize you don't even have half the size of an army as he has. And Jesus says, will you not, while that enemy is a long way off, send a delegate to seek terms of peace? Knowing that you have no chance if a battle ensues. We read that and Jesus actually applies it and says, you know, the same as those that seek me. You see, we have no chance to stand before God on our own merit. We have no chance to stand before God with whatever army we could muster, whatever goodness we could muster, whatever righteousness we could to come up with on our own. And we would be wise to seek peace with God. Jesus made it clear that there is a way to have peace with God, and it's through Him. But the terms of this peace is full surrender. It's not a negotiated peace. It's a peace where the one who is victorious says, you must surrender everything, and I will give you more. It's one of those incredible terms of peace that is almost unheard of in the world standards. But when we come to God recognizing that we're His enemy, the Bible says that while we were enemies with Christ, He died for us. While we were living apart from Christ, He paid the penalty to reconcile us to Himself. This season, this week, this day, who do you need to give the gift of peace? Have you received the gift of peace from God yourself? Do you live like it? You see, it's one thing to say, yeah, I've made peace with God. I've surrendered to God. Okay? Do you live that way? Do the people around you believe that you have peace? Or do you live in as much conflict as they do? Oh, we live in the midst of the same conflict, don't get me wrong. But the way we interact with one another, the way that we live with purpose, the way that we live with the encouragement of one another, the way we live accepting one another, the way we live comforting one another, the way we live expressing these seeds of peace will give the world something that it desperately needs. It'll give them a glimpse of the relationship with God that we have. It's my prayer that every one of us this week would carry peace with us, knowing that the only peace that we have to carry is the peace that God has given us. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you that you are indeed a God that gives peace. You give peace in the midst of conflict, even while the battle rages around us. I think of David and writing that 23rd Psalm of talking about preparing a table in the presence of his enemies. And to think of that internal peace that allows us to sit down and enjoy a meal even while the enemies rage around us. A peace that's only possible through Jesus. So, Father, today as I pray, I ask that we would not only live with that peace, that we have accepted that gift of peace from your hand, and that we would give that gift of peace to everyone we meet. That we would make the most of every opportunity to share Jesus. And as we share Jesus, that people would accept him and find a peace that only he can give. It's in his name that I pray. Amen.